WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you now.
So, you know, what a bit, yeah. Now, of course, I should remind you, the phone number is 252-6200 outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. If you're calling in and listening on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com, generally outside the calling area, you'll want to use the 800 number and let us pay the freight. It is Valentine's Day, so we've got a little bit of out-of-the-ordinary bumper music for you this evening, that being the first one that came to mind, Jay Giles Band and Love Stinks. Believe me, there's a lot more, and we'll have fun with it through the night. So beyond Alberto de Torquemada, what else today? It is Valentine's Day, and it's worth noting. It's Monday. I got to get back in the groove. Do you remember when you were in school as a kid, and you would have lessons on, you know, how they celebrate Christmas in other lands? Well, let's do that with Valentine's Day. How do they celebrate Valentine's Day in Saudi Arabia, George Bush's favorite Arabic country, Saudi Arabia? How do they celebrate Valentine's Day there? The short answer is they don't. And if they try, they are literally tormented by the right-wing fundamentalist extremist religious elements in that country. Florists have noted that members of the Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice, that's the religion police in Saudi Arabia. It's sort of like your Donald Wildman's and your Coral Snake Ministries and your Fred Phelps and Jerry Falwell's and Pat Robertson's here. The Committee for Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. They've gone to various and sundry florist shops and said, listen, we see a red flower, we see so much as a red greeting card. We're taking you downtown, or out into the desert, as the case may be. Because these people are Wahhabists. And we've talked about Wahhabism on a number of occasions, and you know that they are the most extreme element in Islam. These are the real, live, honest-to-goodness, woman-hating, modernity-hating, progress-hating, science-hating, everybody-hating version of Islam. And in fact, a Pakistani florist in the Sulaymaniyah district of Riyadh said they've been by two or three times a day, and I have to say, look, no red, I've taken them all out. Apparently any color but red. Care to guess why? Well, at any rate, according to these Wahhabist freaks, there are only two holidays a year in their version of Islam. The feast after the fasting month of Ramadan and the fast after the Hajj pilgrimage. They don't even let you celebrate Muhammad's birthday in Saudi Arabia like other Muslim countries do. And, you know, Valentine's Day, they try to call it the Feast of Love. Nope, sorry. That's not going to happen. And remember, these are George Bush's business partners. These are George Bush's business partners. These are the people who keep the bills paid at the Bush family compound in Kennebunkport. And, you know, what you remember, of course, women have to cover themselves from head to toe in public. They have to be escorted by a male guardian. They are not allowed to operate a motor vehicle or any conveyance of any sort. And if you want to sell a red rose in Saudi Arabia, you do so taking your physical well-being and, in fact, your continued existence into your very hands. Disgusting. A customer came into this one fellow's shop and asked if he could deliver 30 red roses to the diplomatic quarter of Riyadh. And oddly enough, the guy said, "Hey, I can do that. That's not the weirdo religious police. That's just the regular police. They'll let me through." And these are our buddies. You know, just once, wouldn't it be nice to be on the right side of a movement toward democracy? Now, whatever, and make no mistake, something is going to topple the Saudi kingdom one of these days. And odds are it's going to be someone who hates our guts. Because we spend all our time and all our effort and all our energies propping up this cancer that grows on the Saudi population, that is their monarchy. Once upon a time, we were anti-monarchy in America. We believed everyone who wanted to be free had a right to be free. We don't believe that anymore. George Bush stood there at his obscene inaugural and talked about, "Well, we're going to take freedom to all over, blah, all over creation." Yeah, except where your buddies are. We're not going to take freedom to Uzbekistan. We are certainly not going to take freedom to Saudi Arabia. And we're not going to talk about the rights of women in Saudi Arabia. And we're not going to talk about the fact that, oh, well, why bother? Again, it's another one of those moments from The Godfather. "I always thought Michael was a nice boy. Tell him it was only business." It's only business in Saudi Arabia. It doesn't matter who suffers, who dies. I mean, we complain about people getting beheaded in Iraq. They do it with regularity in Saudi Arabia. We say nothing. So, you know, happy Valentine's Day to the Saudis, huh? No red roses, no red cards, because the religion police will come after you. I guess the religion police in Saudi Arabia feels about, red cards and red roses the way James Dobson feels about SpongeBob? They're the same critter. Intolerant, narrow-minded, idiotic, ignorant. They're the same creature. Whether it's a Wahhabist Muslim or a fundamentalist so-called Christian, they're cut from the same cloth, are they not? So then I got a little information here about Valentine's Day, and of course we've got what's going on in the wide, wide world, too. Hint one, if you're going to write a newspaper editorial urging the non-consolidation of a failing school system, it might be a nice idea. This is a separate subject, mind you. It might be a nice idea to do so with something passing for good English grammar, but that's just me. So that and more when we come back. The phone number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. Power Country 105.9 and Raleigh General Hospital present the 8th Annual Southern West Virginia Women's Expo at the Raleigh County Armory, February 19th and 20th. Free child care provided by A Place to Grow. Free parking courtesy of Smith Company Motor Cars. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo features exhibits on health and fitness, beauty, financial planning, home decor, nutrition, and so much more. Register for cash giveaways each day and attend informative seminars and demonstrations. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo, presented by Raleigh General Hospital and Power Country 105.9. Saturday, February 19th from noon until 6 p.m. and Sunday, February 20th from 1 until 5 p.m. Buy your tickets now at Whitesville State Bank, Coldwell Banker Real Estate, PC Designs, Weight Watchers, and at New to You Consignments.
Every year, hundreds of miners in West Virginia are injured because coal mines deliberately violate known safety standards. When these coal companies cause injuries to workers, they often try to hide behind West Virginia workers' compensation laws. Don't let this happen to you. Call the law firm of Neely and Hunter, the coal lawyers, toll-free at 1-888-567-2WIN.
I'm Richard Neely, and my law firm Neely & Hunter has years of experience in defeating workers' compensation immunity and making coal companies pay for the injuries they cause. If you or a loved one has been hurt at work because of poor safety standards, call me, Richard Neely, at 1-888-567-TO-WIN. I'll work to get you the cash and benefits you deserve.
Call 1-888-567-TO-WIN for Neely & Hunter, the coal lawyers. That's 1-888-567-2WIN.
That catches it, slams, and it hangs on the rim.
And the Cougars are on a roll.
His sixth three-pointer of the game, and this one's from 11 feet beyond the arc.
And the Cougars are national champions.
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I national champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Fanscott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head On.
With the English language on the air here. We don't all speak some sort of uniform, standardized English. Of course not. But if you're in the newspaper business, good grammar, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. I mean, I think the second paragraph of this thing from the Logan paper is just one long sentence fragment that goes nowhere, does nothing. And another, there's a subject-verb agreement problem. And I know, I sound, overly persnickety. But really, I'm not. They're very seriously concerned in Mingo County about their school system, as well they should be. And advocating for that school system is a noble undertaking. But you undercut the undertaking when you can't do it with decent English. Of course, you know, that's just me, I guess. Out there in the blogosphere is a site called the Brad Blog. And the Brad Blog has had some interesting information over the past few months. And this latest one, are we up for some fraud? Are we into some wholesale well, of course we are. This is what happened with the Iraq... With the Iraq Mire, with the Iraq Man, Viet Rock, you know, pick a term. But CNN, whom some of you persist in thinking is liberal, CNN did a set of stories over the weekend, both online and on air, the two stories were posted on the CNN website. One last week about nukes in Iran, and another about nukes in North Korea. Nukes in Iran was on Wednesday, according to the Brad blog. The nukes in North Korea was run on their website on Saturday. And as Brad blog noted, they show photographs of the nuclear facilities in both instances. One in Iran, one in North Korea. Guess what? Same picture. Really, same picture. I mean, well, what? We talk about the media from time to time on this program, and we don't ask a lot of them. We know that the White House press corps is never going to ask Slippery Scotty McClellan or God knows that goggle-eyed dolt George Bush a hard question. We know that's not going to happen. And we know now that that the White House is so desperate to try to spin its philosophy, if you can call it that, that it is willing to pay columnists, it's willing to pay the likes of Armstrong Williams. We know that they will sneak non-journalists into the White House press briefings in order to lob softballs to Slippery Scotty McClellan and do a little low-rent name-calling of people like Senator Harry Reid. That's Gannongate. And now, yep, there are those of us who do remember the run-up to the Iraq War. I'm one of them. I know there are several of you out there. And you remember all the, you know, the kind of sleazy rice saying, well, we don't want the next smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. Or talking about the historical document that turned out to be the presidential daily briefing of August 6th, 2001, titled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. And we remember hearing about how Saddam Hussein was 45 minutes from launching a nuke on London, or paddling his rubber ducky swimming pool flotation device to New York with a dirty bomb on it, or I don't know. All the myriad stinking, filthy lies that we've come to expect from Republicans. We remember those. And here we go again. Here we go again. CNN. The conservative news network. Running the same photograph on its website of a North Korean nuclear installation and then claiming later it's an Iranian nuclear installation. Making it up as we go along. Lord God, Billy Bob, how dumb do they think we are? Mercy. Go see it for yourself, bradblog.com. He's got the data right there. It's simply amazing. Go see it. Well, we will be back. We've got a news update coming from Carl Mack, followed by a bit of information from the Workers Independent News Service. Following that, your calls. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Happy Valentine's, everybody. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Valentine's Day was not only a great day for lovers, it's a great day for retailers. This weekend, area residents went to the stores and found that special gift for Valentine's Day. They bought everything from candies, flowers, stuffed animals, to massages, and also home spa treatments. The National Retail Foundation says Valentine's Day is the third biggest retail holiday of the year. The votes are in, and the state capitol dome will return to its roots. An online opinion poll overwhelmingly finds the original design of Cass Gilbert as the choice of the people for the refurbished capitol dome. The gold accent with blue background was selected by 80% of those West Virginians who voted in an online and telephone poll last week. Only 20% wanted a return to the complete gold leafing that was installed on the historic structure in 1988. Two members of West Virginia's congressional delegation agree with President Bush's proposal to increase the compensation paid to families of soldiers killed in service. But they say the increase should not be limited to deaths in combat zones. Bush has asked Congress to increase the tax-free death gratuity from $12,420 to $100,000 and to provide an extra $150,000 in life insurance payments. Governor Manchin is going after the meth labs in the state and wants to limit access to the three key ingredients used in making the drug. Manchin's bill, introduced Thursday, would move medicines containing the ingredients behind the counter. Some of the chemicals used in making meth are found in such common cold remedies as Sudafed. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy, fog develops later on tonight, gets chilly, low near 35, but then for Tuesday, partly sunny and much warmer, Mars high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Walmart has agreed to pay more than $134,000 to settle charges alleging that it broke child labor laws. 24 violations were charged against the world's largest retailer, including allegations it had teenagers use paper balers and forklifts. According to U.S. child labor law, anyone under the age of 18 is prohibited from using hazardous equipment. The store denied the allegations, but agreed to pay the penalties anyway.
The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra has been locked out by management for more than 6 weeks, but new talks are set for Wednesday. Jan Gippo is a spokesperson for the Musicians Union. He says St. Louis orchestra musicians are paid $15,000 a year less than orchestras in similar cities.
If we accept what he's offering, this orchestra will leave the one percentile of great symphony orchestras in the world and fall to 19th and become a revolving door orchestra where the young players will leave.
Gippo says management took away prepaid health insurance from locked out musicians in St. Louis.
Canceling our health insurance is, in labor terms, is a very adversarial position to take, very combative. If we didn't take that position and he locked us out by 7 o'clock on Monday morning, long before we were going to take a vote, before the orchestra got the proposal to take a vote, he'd locked the door. That's why it's a lockout.
The union musicians are willing to take $10,000 a year less than peers in similar cities, but they say quality of the orchestra is now the main issue.
Hundreds of workers at Garlock Sealing Technologies in New York left their jobs and hit the picket lines on Sunday. After overwhelmingly rejecting the latest contract offer on Saturday, employees represented by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers voted to strike. Union representatives say the contract would have reduced pay and allow the company to change the schedules of workers every 2 weeks. The gasket and sealing product company had asked for $3 million in concessions from the union in an attempt to remain competitive. Company spokesmen have said that the plant may have to close if demands are not met. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The number of gays and lesbians being discharged from the military has dropped significantly since September 11, 2001. According to new numbers released by the Defense Department, the number of discharges under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is nearly half of what it was at that time. All military branches have seen drops in discharges. Across the board, the number kicked out in 2001 was 1,227. In 2004, it was 653.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, Valentine's Day night. I play at this. No, we did our Valentine's a little bit earlier this year. In fact, what we did is we got the whole tribe together. And since everybody, you know, we start this long list of birthdays in our family that starts in December and keeps going until April. So Valentine's Day seemed like a nice midway point. So we had the multi-birthday family go out to dinner thing on Saturday night. Went out to Sedona Grill in Fayetteville, my favorite restaurant overall, for a really good sit-down meal. And wow, what a menu. I mean, the beautiful pan-fried medallions of beef tenderloin, and yeah, sit down for this one, crab meat cheesecake. Oh yeah, oh way good. And Bloody Mary shrimp cocktail. Oh, it was just delicious. And oh, the desserts. We opted for chocolate. It was sort of a Valentine's Day thing. If you get a chance, go by there for dinner. Tell them I mentioned that you might want to. You will indeed enjoy your experience. And that I can guarantee. Because, like I said, no better restaurant anywhere in the whole area. Sedona Grill over in Fayetteville. Let's go to the phones. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We got Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Oh, good, good.
All my best for a wonderful Valentine's Day to you and your family from this, your old narrator, and the Shady Lady.
Well, thank you very kindly. I got your email note, and I appreciate it.
The Shady Lady is sitting right by the phone. She just can't understand where this voice is coming from.
Just a little too confusing.
Really? I swear to God, she sits right by there and just looks, and she's looking at it right now.
Well, but, you know, that's the beautiful thing about cats. You know, my dogs will hear something coming over the speakers, and they'll, hey, is there more food in the bowl? Yeah. The cat, no, the cat pays attention.
Got it. Anyway, about CNN,
mm-hmm.
If they're supposed to be liberal, I don't know by whose measuring stick they would make that assessment, but I don't think they're that liberal. I think they're pretty much fair and balanced.
Well, to the extent that they're Fox wannabe, yeah, they're fair and balanced.
Oh, good Lord, those people. You know, honestly and truly, when I have, really, if I had children and I had to use the V-chip,
mm-hmm.
I would put Fox on the, they would have to have special code to watch it.
Oh, I know. And yet, even a little bit of information is slipping into Fox now. Over the weekend, I noticed, Jim, that they're running the story that, indeed, we are, just like Seymour Hersh said a couple of weeks ago in The New Yorker, said, we're flying drones over Iran, we're spotting out all the stuff that we want to attack, and the government came out and said, oh, no, we're not, we wouldn't do anything like that. And it shows up even on Fox that we're flying the Predator drones over Iran, taking pictures. It's coming.
Well, you know, it's getting to the point that whenever you hear something that's coming out of the White House press room or whatever, that's what you want to believe—the exact opposite.
Oh, exactly. It's that scene from Sergeant York, where he asked the German major, you know, if you was a going to the Allied front lines, which way would you go? And he says, I would go this way. He says, then we going to go that way. You know, whatever they say, it's the opposite.
I'm afraid so. They speak in anonyms. They really do. And it's sad. It really is. I can remember when we used to have fairly decent reportage over, you know, networks and things like that. But now things have become so so biased and so slanted, they don't even try to even cover it up.
No, there's no attempt to. I mean, there's no media in this country. I mean, whether it be CBS or Fox or NBC, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, headline news.
Well, I mean, you've got that Bill O'Reilly on Fox and Hannity and Combs, and they look like something off the set of a great B horror movie by William Castle.
You've always got the right reference, Jim.
They really do. And then you've got Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, and, you know, he's not much better. I do enjoy Don Imus, on occasion on MSNBC.
Well, of all of them, the one, and of course I never get a chance to watch it because I'm here, the one decent news program that's on any of those channels is and is consistently high quality is Countdown with Keith Olbermann. But, you know, sorry, I don't get to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes he can get a bit stuck on himself. But you know who I stick to the news?
Who?
BBC.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that's nice if you can get it.
I mean, the BBC, Channel 100 on the Teleguide. And you can pick it up at, you know, on your on 91.7 FM.
Yeah, what? They start that at 6 o'clock at night?
At 5 a.m.
Oh, well, that's in the morning, yeah.
And then, of course, they have different newscasts throughout the day. I think one of them was at 9. But I want to let you know, I did do some checking again to verify what I told you about H.R. 418.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a roger. That's a go.
Oh, God. That they're going to hook its star to the trailing tail of the
budget. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't vote, oh, brother.
Yeah,
you support the troops.
You know, in other words, if a congressman or a senator does not vote for that, they're going to try to label him as being non-supportive of our troops in Iraq and, of course, unpatriotic. And then, of course, they're going to try to make further inroads into that person's state, district, whatever. And, you know, I just don't understand this type of stuff. I really don't.
Well, that's our problem, Jim. A lot of Democrats don't understand this stuff. And what it is, what I keep trying to tell people, you know, I've got that acronym, the Stump Licker Bunch, the slobs. And that's what these people are. They will cut throats. They will punch faces. They will, you know, they kidney punch, rabbit punch, sucker punch. They will do anything necessary to achieve their goal.
Well, I hate to say it, but they lie.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they teach their children to do.
And then, you know, but the thing about a lie is this, you know, it can only last so long, because if you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another one to cover that one up, and another one, and so it goes, and so eventually, there you are, just completely wrapped around the axle, and you're going to be looking like either a fool or a criminal or both.
Well, in the Jim, in the days when we had a viable media, you would have been right. Now you're wrong. I mean, I'm not being mean. You're just, but it, look, yeah, you start with one, you tell another to cover that, you tell another to cover that until you are wrapped around the axle, if anybody's watching. Now, how many people are dead in Iraq? How many Americans? Nearly 1,500? How many civilians? Over 100,000? And how many lies started that war?
I don't know. But, you know, going to the newscast, even Mike Wallace on Imus this morning said that, you know, the whole format of dispensing news has changed from the evening news because people have so many other access. You know, it's on all day. The minute you switch on your computer, you're going to get it. And so the evening news thing, and he asked Imus, he said, you know, do you even watch the news anymore? And Imus named someone I can't remember. Of course, Imus himself can be kind of contrary, depending on what kind of think state he's in or depending on if he's remembering if he'd like to have a shot at bourbon or whatever, you know, on him.
Yeah, just depending on how he started the morning.
Yeah, how he's feeling and whether he's feeling good or not or whether he wants to grab that guy who does the sports caster, Sid Rosenblum or Rosenberg or whatever. But I don't know. It's just amazing to hear some of the stuff that comes out of these guys' mouths. And, wow, are they getting paid for this? Yes, they are.
Oh, they're paid handsomely.
And you've got people like Rupert Murdoch, who's controlling Fox, for example, and I won't go into the Viacom, controls CBS, and
Disney has ABC, and then my personal favorite is NBC. Owned and controlled by the single largest defense contractor and maker of weapons and tools and toys of death in the entire world.
And who is their parent company?
NBC. GE.
GE, General Electric, yeah. Well, Bob, they all have a vested interest in seeing us be at war and stay at war.
Well, I ruminated all weekend long, Jim, on the words of our friend David Friday night, who just pointedly explained it, and it's the best explanation I have yet heard from some very intelligent people that call this show, and that is there is a reason to attack Social Security and put us all in the market on it, because if we're all in the market...
Oh, they'll be supporting them.
We need the market to rise, and in order for the market to rise, we need to build engines of death. And if we complain about the engines of death, well, then the market might fall, and then we all lose our retirement. Makes too much sense.
Well, I'm afraid that is the type of war economy that was practiced by Adolf Hitler. And, you know, that can only prosper but for a season. And, you know, I was talking to Dr. O'Brien this afternoon. We're talking about films, media, and things like that.
Yeah, I heard your conversation about Leni Riefenstahl.
And basically, you know, the influence this stuff has on people. I mean, it's all very beguiling, and it's all very misleading at times.
Oh, certainly it is.
And, you know, I guess as an older man, I long for a kinder and gentler times when, you know, you could get decent reportage and, you know, you could cut on, even, you know, as far as our cinema is concerned, when you could find something on the screen or go to a movie and where people actually keep their clothes on. I know.
And, you know, you referenced earlier, and it was something that just popped into my head, you referenced Triumph of the Will.
Oh, my Lord.
And do you remember the shot of the airplane?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, see,
the shadow, as that Junkers 88 was cast as it was flying over the old city of Nuremberg, yeah.
See, there are a lot of people in this country, Jim, who have not seen Triumph of the Will. You have.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I want you to think back. When you think to that airplane scene in Triumph of the Will, think back to the scene of the heroic George W. Bush flying his mighty aircraft onto the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Well, there you have it, my friend.
It's the same cinematography.
Same cinematography.
You know, some people may not have seen it, but I can guarantee you, the entire Bush administration, and especially Karl Rove and Karen Hughes and that crowd, have, by God, not only seen it, they've studied it, and they've read Mein Kampf.
Yeah, they have, and I'm just wondering what kind of music they're going to use, whereas Hitler used Wagner and some of his other German composers. I mean, at least he had good taste in music, as far as I'm concerned. Some of the taste in music I've heard of are attributed to George Bush are absolutely abominable, but that's just me speaking personally.
Well, I'm guessing they use like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or something for a similar effect.
Well, I've heard one of his songs, favorite songs is "I Can't Believe I Shaved My Legs for This."
You ever
heard that song?
Yes, I have.
Oh Lord, have mercy!
You're awful, Jim. We got to roll, man.
Well, you just keep on rolling, and you take care of yourself. And again, a happy Valentine's Day to each and every one of you, okay?
Thanks, and to you too.
Thank you.
Bye now. And Kyle, hey, Kyle, you're head on. Kyle.
Hey, Bob, how you doing, bud?
Doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing okay. I don't really understand where you're coming from. Hearing that all this media thing is right-wing and conservative. I don't really understand that.
Well, you need to watch sometime.
I do, Bob.
I mean, when CNN is out there carrying water for the Bush administration, showing photographs of the same so-called nuclear site, and on one day attributing it to North Korea, and on the next day attributing it to Iran, what am I supposed to think? That's not exactly liberal.
Bob, all right, let me ask you a question. All right, let's forget our differences, okay?
I will try.
All right. I want to know what Kyle, I can see the news reported on ABC, NBC, CBS, everywhere at Fox, and I see liberal, you see conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Can we come to an agreement on what that's all about?
I don't know that we can. I think to a certain extent it's a matter of you, well, Kyle, you have been browbeaten for 20 years with the idea that there's a liberal media. I've watched it. I haven't seen it.
I've been browbeaten.
Yeah, the foot soldiers in the culture war of which you are a part have been told. You know, from what's his name?
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa! Let me understand here. I've been browbeaten, but you've made this decision on your own.
Yeah, I've watched it. I haven't depended on anybody to tell me what it is or isn't. Well, have you listened to Rush Limbaugh on a regular basis?
Well, of course I do, but I don't base my life on what.
No, I don't say you have, but you have been predisposed to believe in a liberal media by virtue of its having been repeated. It's a tactic and a theory called the big lie, and it's very real. And the way it works, Kyle, is that if you repeat the big lie enough, loudly enough, frequently enough, that it will eventually become truth to most people.
So where do you come from telling me that I get my interpretation of what I'm seeing on the liberal media? You know,
because Kyle, if you hadn't been told that there was a liberal media, you wouldn't believe that there was one.
But if you hadn't been told there was a conservative media, you wouldn't have been told. You
no, learn. I have watched. Look, Kyle, I have watched it over the years. I participated in it. Okay, I worked in it. I have seen it go from neutral to further and further and further right. Okay, I mean it's just a function of experience.
Bob, you offend me when you tell me.
I'm not trying to offend you, Kyle. I'm merely, can you be offended by the growing of grass? Grass grows, wind blows, water flows. It's neither meant to be offensive nor inoffensive. It is merely a fact. And that fact remains, Kyle, that for, lo, these 20 years or so, we've had the flush phlegm balls and the savage wieners and all of these ridiculous right-wingers out there screaming that there's a liberal bias.
So you and Jim get your intelligence and all these things that you argue in the base. The basis for your beliefs from something that I get mine from Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage, who I don't like.
Right. I use him as an example, not particular to you, Kyle. I know you don't care.
Okay. So now Rush Limbaugh tells me I, right?
No.
Hey, Bob. You're insulting my intelligence.
No, Kyle. I am not insulting. Bob. Kyle, I'm not insulting your intelligence. I am pointing out a fact. And it's not just isolated to Kyle. There are all kinds of red state persons who think that there is a liberal media because they have been told there is a liberal media. Okay? This Eason guy was just forced out at CNN because he said that the American military targeted journalists, when in fact he didn't say that. But he was forced out over it by right-wingers. You know, what am I supposed to think of the Washington Press Corps when they won't even out a fake journalist that's brought into the White House to lob softballs to Scott McClellan?
Bob, I could tell you some good news. My son is home from Iraq.
Yay! That is good news.
He's in Hawaii with his wife and children.
That's where he's based, right?
Yep.
Good. Glad to have him home. Hope he's home. Hope he's home for good.
No, he wants to go back.
Well, then I hope he gets to go back. My personal preferences and my feelings for you and your family, I hope he's home for good. And for
I hope so too. But Bob, you know, Rush Limbaugh said last week on this show. No, sorry, not last week. It went on week before last. We can argue all we want to. I'm not going to change your position. You're not going to change mine. But if we don't debate, for Get the Hell Out of Talk Radio. And Bob, you and I can debate this tonight because men like my son have defended our freedom.
Well, I'm sorry, Kyle. I'm going to have to draw the line there because I don't think anything's been defended in Iraq. There have been a lot of wasted lives there. There's been heartache. There's been bloodshed. There has been grief. But our freedom was never under attack from Iraq, and I'm sorry, that's just a fact. I appreciate the call, though, and please tell him I said welcome home. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. When we come back after the top of the hour news, your phone calls 252-6200, outside Beckley 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
It's after 8 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Remind you again of the phone number. It's 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. There are a couple of lines open if you want to jump in. We're streaming live on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com and archived nightly by our good friend Ben Birch at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you miss a chunk of the program, it's there for you 24/7. Go click on the head-on link, and it'll take you to the shows. Now, I feel a need to clarify just a little bit from that previous conversation. Let's deal in facts, because facts is what we're all about here. American freedom has not been threatened since 1941, and realistically, for the hell on earth that war was. What's the line from that cheesy old Battle of the Bulge movie? They are mailing chocolate cake from New York to Belgium. When they can mail chocolate cake, we are all doomed. The Reich is doomed. We cannot win. Remember that? So that is the last time anyone in uniform had to fight for America's freedom. There was no fight for American freedom in Korea. That was a fight for Korean freedom. There was no fight for freedom in Vietnam. It was a horrible, bloody mistake. Okay, there was no fight for freedom in Grenada or Panama. There was no fight for freedom in Bush War I. God knows there is no fight for freedom in Bush War II. And those are just facts. There is tragedy, there is death, there is agony, there is misery. But there is no fight for freedom, because freedom is not under attack, at least not ours. Let's do go back to the phones, and Ed, we've got Ed. Hey, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going this evening?
Doing pretty good, I think.
I haven't been able to get your program this evening at all, but I want to just ask you a couple questions. Did you listen to a fellow named David Brock on the C-SPAN yesterday at all?
I didn't catch him yesterday. I am very well familiar, however, with Mr. Brock and some of the things that he talks about. He's the head of Media Matters for America.
Very interesting conversation and question session. But he is the co-author of Misstating the State of the Union, and he was speaking at Georgetown University yesterday and had a real bunch of interesting people, students, and they were talking on the attacks on democracy, and I just wondered if you happened to hear that.
I wish I had. I'll have to go. They archive that stuff on the C-SPAN site. I'll have to go and check it out.
Yeah, that's it was real good, and sometimes I get the people that's against, like, you know, we spoke briefly on Lou Dobbs, and I guess I didn't listen to enough of him to determine that he was a Republican, but I thought he had 100% ideas and blasting them for the outsourcing.
Oh, he's been very, very hard on that, and Lou Dobbs is a rock-ribbed Republican, but he reminds me of Republicans like, you know, what Eisenhower was a Republican.
Well, I just I wanted to, you know, get your further opinion on that, and if he's worth bringing out any information worth making a mental note of.
No, Lou Dobbs is very solid on the outsourcing issue. He also pays pretty close attention to the white collar Wall Street criminals, and you can take what he says on the crooks to the bank.
Well, I was going to comment on the crooks. This, on another program, I heard a guy talking about a crook, and it must have been a Democrat. And, of course, I didn't have time to call in on the program. The time was up. But, you know, going all the way back to Reagan, he had 125 people that was either indicted or had to quit their post because of the slime ball crookedness they were in.
Dirtiest administration in modern history, that's right.
Yeah, and then along comes Bush, and they talk about one Democrat or two that is, to start with, they're humans. And I'm not talking about Democrats and Republicans, but it seems like the Republicans try to get a monopoly on being crooked. And you look at the people that give big contributions to George Bush and take a look at what they've stood for and how they've gone down and how George Bush is not even associating with some of them now because he's afraid he'll tarnish the tarnished record.
Well, you know, consider going back to Pappy Bush, Ed. You got to remember that he had to pardon a whole gang of those Iran-Contra murderous thugs because they were about to drop the dime on him. And he was about to get the Nixon treatment, you know, the whole cancer on the presidency thing.
Mm-hmm.
But by pardoning those people, he was able to get his own sorry hide off the hook. And that's, you know, that's standard operating procedure for the Republicans. Months ago, we talked about Bush 1's last day in office and how he pardoned the Pakistani heroin smuggler. And you've got to wonder why. But that's the way they operate. And they get themselves in these messes because for all their talk of pious Christian values, what these Republicans worship, Ed, you know what they worship.
Oh, yeah.
Money.
Yeah, money and corporations. All of them, if they don't own it, they worship them.
And that being the case, there is nothing that they will not do in pursuit of power and in pursuit of money.
Yeah. And you know something else. You take a look back, and you know all they can lay on Clinton is his, I didn't agree with that NAFTA deal.
No.
But that be as it may, that was probably one of the most honest mistakes that a guy could make. He thought he was doing well, and that's more than this present administration can say. They know they're not doing well by the public. But the Bush administration, his dad, you know, and they talk about Monica Lewinsky and Clinton, they should take a look at George Bush's dad and his mistress.
And absolutely.
That almost caused the divorce in between those two people, you know, George Sr. and his wife because of the mistress. But you know what? They run their mouth on things so loud that they ain't got time to stop and take a look and sweep their own back porch.
Oh, well, you know, I well remember the Lewinsky scandal, Ed. I remember how Newt Gingrich led the charge on that at the same time that he was having sex with a congressional intern that was not his wife.
Yeah, and in addition to that, you know, not having enough respect for a dying woman, his wife. And, you know, those are the slime balls. Those are the kind of people that's even lower than what Clinton did.
Oh, well, without, you know, Henry Hyde?
I know the jerk. He's the one that went after him. He had a baby. He had a baby out of wedlock when still running his mouth. I can't believe the Republican Party will come charging like they do and are charging on the very things that they have done themselves and worse.
Oh, without a doubt. And the list is almost endless, Ed. But the fact, it comes on into the modern era. Again, America should be reminded on billboards and television, radio, whatever. They should be constantly reminded. We spent $70 million taxpayer dollars pursuing Monica Lewinsky's relationship with Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. And we have not spent not one thin dime investigating this war and the lies that George Bush told time and time again and the lies that Condoleezza Rice told and the lies that Rumsfeld told and the lies that Cheney told. We have not expended one thin dime of taxpayers' money to investigate any of this, and nearly 1,500 American servicemen and women are in the ground over those lies.
It makes you sort of lose faith. I have no faith in my government anymore. I do in the people, the ones that really know what's going on, but so many of them's got their head in the hole anymore. They're like an ostrich, you know. And I never heard such a dumb remarks to come up on some of these programs that's on the air. You know, they must have their ear glued to Rush Limbaugh all the time. And you're talking about an idiot. When the guy wrote The Big Fat Idiot, I wouldn't give you a nickel for everything he's ever said to have it memorized, except for being able to rebuke it and rebut it.
Well, you know, it's kind of beautiful what they do. Well, Al Franken, for instance, he applies fact checkers to virtually everything Rush Limbaugh says, and every day he will burn him and catch him in a lie.
Where do you get his stuff at?
Right now you can only get it on the internet.
Yeah.
When you hear it, it's amazing. And that David Brock that you mentioned, David Brock is a regular guest on Al Franken's show. And, you know, again, it's the beauty of being on this side. All we have to do is present the facts, and the Republican House of Cards collapses.
Yeah, they know we know them, but the fact is that most of the public are ignorant to the facts.
Right.
And, you know, the ones that need to know the facts most aren't even registered to vote. That's the reason they can win. They can divide what of them that are registered, and then the ones that's not registered, we're losing them.
Well, and not just that, Ed. You've also got to understand, you know, you hear them talk about the liberal media, and the first thing they'll say is the New York Times, when in fact the run-up to the Iraq War was sponsored almost exclusively by a woman named Judith Miller writing for the New York Times. Do you remember when Bush had the bulge on his back during the debates?
Mm-hmm.
And we all said, you know, that doesn't look like a rumple in a suit, which was the lie that they told. Well, Salon, which is an online magazine, had the story, and the New York Times was getting ready to run the story. A NASA scientist, one of these really, really smart people who analyzes photos of, you know, the surface of Mars, okay, and can tell from millions and millions of miles what kind of rock something is. This guy said, I've enhanced the photo of George Bush's back, and that is definitely machinery of some sort. And they gave it to the New York Times, and the New York Times spiked it, Ed, because they didn't want it to run.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want the American people to be shown what a filthy, dirty, rotten, waste of oxygen liar George Bush is.
Yeah, he is. He's one of the most pitiful human beings that has ever had any kind of power in this country. He is just so, you know, something, Bob, and I'm not kidding you, watch at him when he gets on there, and you can discern his intelligence level, and you can discern when he's lying. And I'm not trying to be funny and say every time he opens his mouth, but he gets that chin stuck out and like he just is on a horse, just knows it all.
Well, you've seen pictures of Mussolini.
Yeah.
There are times when George Bush turns profile, Ed, and you could lay a photograph of Mussolini over top of it, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Well, I tell you what, there's
that
a lot
chin
of people,
sticking
I
out
mean,
there.
A lot of intelligent people thinks that we're going to hell in a handbag.
Oh.
And I'm one of them. You know, not to mention that Johnny
that
called in. I share his views probably 95%, and I would like to hear him call in, you know, on your program and even on Dr. Beals again. But I wanted to tell you, this guy was talking, you know, attacks are being made on the on colleges, and you know that, because of the liberal, so-called liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you would listen to the college students questioning David Brock yesterday and the intelligence that they had, and it was like almost like a classroom discussion thing between those people, you would know why they were more understanding and so-called liberal. They know what they're coming back out of those colleges, and they're familiar with what's going on.
Well,
and
the the college students that are actually paying attention know that it is their world that George W. Bush is stomping on.
Yeah, and they're you know, I mentioned before, until they get the Rush Limbaugh mentality and overshadow the colleges, but I believe those kids are still too smart to buy into that stuff. They're not going to change. They can call it liberalism, Democrat, or whatever they want to. But those kids, when they have their sessions, you know, and debates, and like yesterday, that is a way that they become informed, and they know what's going on, and they can run their mouth on them all the time. I don't believe they'll ever be able to win that. And that's exactly the reason they're cutting these grants and all this stuff out, as we talked before,
mm-hmm.
is they don't want the poor people to get educated. They'll bring it back to our families and our brothers and sisters.
Oh, it's all the W.C. Fields rule, Ed. It don't smarten up a chump.
Yeah, let a chump be a chump.
Right.
You know?
And see, that's, you've got to have chumps to have Republicans,
yeah.
Okay? Because, again, you can't, you know, they talk about the liberal bias on our campuses. You know, they made up the liberal media, now they're making up this. The fact of the matter is, they are called liberal arts for a reason, because they're far-reaching, and they look forward, and they try to learn from all facets. Biology, you know, you can't bring the creepy Falwells and Robertsons and Dobsons and this. They can't teach biology by saying, well, look, you know, it's a frog, and 6,000 years ago, its great multi-great granddaddy was made by God. It doesn't work that way. You can't go to math class and say, okay, one and one is a miracle, and it's three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Republican thinking dies on campuses because Republican thinking is not thinking. It's idiotology, not ideology, idiotology.
Yeah, I
you know what I mean?
And it's just never going to be acceptable. Now, you know, I heard one, you know, I spoke on a little bit on Dr. Bill's program one day on along these same lines, and somebody called in, and I had a 4.0, and my sister had a 3.96 or something. And we're Republicans and conservatives, and, you know, I just thought, oh boy, you could flush yours down a commode. What you know, you come out of there with everything out of the book, no common sense at all with it, not being able to see. You know, if you don't know when the sun comes up, you don't know what divides darkness and daylight, do you?
It's about the size of it. Ed, we got to roll. I appreciate it.
Okay, Bob.
Take care.
And keep on plugging.
All right, going to try.
All righty.
All right, little break, and then we'll come back. More of your calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Trinity Christian Academy is dedicated to educating the whole child. Trinity Christian Academy has loving, caring teachers who are trained to challenge students to achieve academic excellence. With kindergarten through eighth grade in a great new facility on Pinewood Drive in Beckley, Trinity Christian Academy is a great place for your child. Call today for information at 254-9600. Trinity Christian Academy, 224 Pinewood Drive, just above the Bank of Mount Hope in Beckley. Call Trinity Christian Academy today, 254-9600.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
Don't you just love sample day at the grocery store? You get to nibble on a whole variety of things without committing to something that may not agree with your taste buds. Apply that same idea to the world of romance, and you find yourself at Cupid.com, the place where you can meet hundreds of guys in your own hometown through our website or at one of our fun local events. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. Most online dating services build worldwide networks of strangers thousands of miles apart, but Cupid.com concentrates on bringing people together who have things in common, including an area code. And since the people that use Cupid.com are looking for true love, one match is all it takes to find your soulmate. Tired of the bitter taste of just another date? Sample your true love at Cupid.com, online or at a local event. Cupid.com.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 26 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Happy Valentine's Day to you all, or anti-Valentine's Day, depending on how you feel about things. Let's go straight back to the phones. Jeff's been waiting. Hey, Jeff, you're Head On.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did okay.
Good.
How can you say that no soldiers since World War II have really fought for freedom?
How can I say it?
Yeah.
Korea attacked us, right? Wrong. Vietnam attacked us, right? Wrong. Iraq attacked us, right? Wrong.
If we hadn't have made stands in Vietnam and Korea, all of Asia would be communist. All of Europe would be communist. There'd be communism in Central America.
Okie dokie.
In South America.
Yeah, because we saw how communism took hold in Nicaragua, didn't we?
We made them. We showed them in Korea and Vietnam that they were going to pay a heavy, heavy price.
And wait a minute, Vietnam. Yeah, they never went communist, did they?
We made them pay the price.
Yeah, we killed a million of their civilians. Okay. But they never went communist, did they?
When you say that, you
did they answer it, Jeff? Did Vietnam go communist?
You're yeah, not going to.
Yes, they did. And did Laos and Thailand fall? Did Japan become communist? I mean, that was the domino theory, Jeff.
If
we let Vietnam go communist, it's all going
to
be communist. No, because you tried to weasel out of a question. No weasels here.
I told you, yeah, they did.
Okay, so your theory is failed.
They paid such a high price to do that they, you know, they couldn't afford to pay that kind of a price for every single country over there.
They who?
The Soviets and the Chinese.
Oh, okay.
Because we, you know, they knew it was going to be a long, long, long war, and we eventually starved them and broke their government. We outspent them and beat them. But you desecrate the memory of every...
No, I haven't desecrated anything. Don't trot that garbage out. No, their lives were wasted. Their lives were wasted, and their memory is cherished.
You know, and there's a person...
No, you want to talk about desecrating memories, Jeff? Here's desecrating memories. How about your president who won't come up with a VA budget that'll take homeless Vietnam veterans off the street? There's some desecration for you.
What do you want to do? They're getting a check every month. You know, if they drink it, it's not my
fault.
Boy,
if they, as long as they get a check. How about taking care of their well-being? How about seeing to it that they have a bed to sleep in every night? Or do we, you know, how can you desecrate the lives and the service of American men who served in Vietnam by suggesting that they don't at least deserve a bed to sleep in and decent health care? That's desecration, Jeff.
Well, does an American soldier have to be fighting for the freedom of an American to be fighting for freedom?
No, I didn't say that. I said, you know, I guess we fought.
They weren't freedom fighters.
I said I guess we fought for Korean freedom. I guess we fought for some sort of Vietnamese freedom. But no, freedom in America has not been threatened. Period. Now, the fact that you don't like history doesn't make history wrong.
You know, we kept communism from taking Europe.
Because America was threatened by, oh, please. Who taught you this stuff?
What do you mean? You mean that...
Who taught you this ridiculous propaganda that America was threatened by the Vietnamese?
I didn't say that. you just said, I don't know what you're hearing now. I said the Soviets were threatening our freedom.
And who taught you that?
I guess Rush Limbaugh. You know,
how many Soviet soldiers landed in America?
You never heard of the Cold War, Bob?
I'm very well familiar with the Cold War. I know probably a whole lot more about it than you will ever know, Jeff.
Well, ain't that just great?
Yeah, it
so
is.
Well, I guess just because you think you know more than me about it.
No, it's not because I think I know more. It's because I do know more, Jeff. You've admitted you don't know much about history.
You know, well, I might not know as much as you, but I know enough to know when I'm being lied to.
No, there have been no lies. There will not be any lies on this program.
What about
the fact
Hitler?
That
Hitler was a Christian.
He was.
That's a lie.
No, it's not, Jeff.
He banned the production of Bibles. He ordered their
Germans
to take crosses.
How many Hitler quotes do I have to read to you about Christianity in Germany?
I've got a whole page of them about him banning it.
Yeah, well, you better find out where it came from, because you're being lied to, all right.
Yeah.
It's just not, I'm not the one that's doing it. All right, we got to roll along, Jeff. This is ridiculous.
Scurry off to safety.
Don't call again, Jeff, okay? Scurry off to safety, my left hind foot. How can you carry on a conversation with someone who is so butt-ignorant of history that they don't know what it means? The fact remains what it is. The Cold War? I know the Cold War up and down. And yes, there were proxy fights, but at no point in time was American freedom ever threatened. Not once, not ever. We got close to the nuclear brink with the Cuban Missile Crisis. Beyond that, thanks for playing. You know, that's the problem. Those ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it, and apparently Jeff is just repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. How many wars do you right wing nuts want American boys to die in for no good reason? How many? It's time for a break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Governor Manchin is going after meth labs in the state, and he wants to limit access to the three key ingredients used in making the drug. Manchin's bill, introduced on Thursday, would move medicine containing the ingredient behind the counter. Some of the chemicals used in making meth are found in such common cold remedies as Sudafed. The bill also says anyone selling, making, or distributing the three chemicals must be registered with the Board of Pharmacy and would set a monthly maximum that customers buy. Some pharmacists are concerned about the added cost of the controls proposed by the governor. Richard Stevens, executive director of the State Pharmacists Association, says the proposed requirements for pharmacists to report sales of cold medicine to the State Board of Pharmacy cost between 8 and 12 cents for each report. He says it's unfortunate that the vast majority of customers who use medicine for cold relief are going to have to cover the cost of the small percentage of people who use them illegally. There was a time when barbershops were in nearly every urban neighborhood, but over the years, the number of shops has dwindled as the barbers retire, die, and fewer young people follow in their footsteps. Brooks Dye owns his own shop in Parkersburg, and the 76-year-old says he used to get haircuts twice a month. Now it's once a month or longer. Dye will celebrate his 50th year as a barber in July. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist Seymour Hersh and NAACP Chairman Julian Bond will present free public lectures in Charleston in the sixth season of the Charleston Gazette West Virginia University Festival of Ideas. Hersh is to speak at 7:30, March 1st, in the Civic Center Little Theater. His topic is The Road from 9/11 to Abu Ghraib. For this evening, cloudy, foggy later tonight, chilly, low near 35, but then for Tuesday, mostly sunny to partly sunny, and tomorrow's high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
George W. likes to brag that he's a decisive leader. Well, yes, he is. And he is quite decisively leading our country right over a cliff with his Iraq policy. But Bush is now claiming that the November election has vindicated his war decisions, calling his win an accountability moment. Well, not exactly. In fact, large majorities of Americans are telling pollsters and Bush that they do not support his Iraq adventure. For real accountability, George might want to have a heart-to-heart with Dante Zappala, a Los Angeles teacher. Zappala has written an eloquent op-ed piece about his brother Sherwood, who died last year as a result of Bush's boneheaded decisiveness. Zappala recalls that the president told us that we must invade Iraq because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction that threatened America's national security. Zappala's brother, a National Guardsman with a wife and 9-year-old son, was assigned to the team in Iraq looking for those non-existent weapons, even though the international inspectors had declared in January 2004 that there were no WMDs. W decisively insisted that they were there, so the search team was ordered to keep looking. 3 months later, Sherwood was killed while standing guard in the futile search for the weapons. Zappala's grieving family wept anew this January when the White House, with no fanfare, conceded that there were no WMDs and officially ended the search. They are anguished not by Sherwood's death alone, but for all who have died and will die because of the false assumptions of our so-called leaders who still will not come clean. Zappala writes, "The war with Iraq was not a mistake, but rather a flagrant abuse of power by our leaders and a case of shameful negligence by the rest of us for letting it happen." This is Jim Hightower saying, there's no accountability moment until Bush and our whole society can honestly answer Zappala's question, why did my brother die?
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Keep it up.
does before 9 o'clock. Listen, I hate to just stick it in and break it off, but sometimes when you're dealing with ignorance on a manifest level, you have to. These are the words of Adolf Hitler delivered in a speech April 12th, 1922. Quote, "My feeling as a Christian points me to my Lord and Savior as a fighter. It points me to the man who once in loneliness, surrounded only by a few followers, recognized these Jews for what they were and summoned men to fight against them, and who, God's truth, was greatest not as a sufferer, but as a fighter. In boundless love as a Christian and as a man, I read through the passage which tells us how the Lord at last rose in his might and seized the scourge to drive out the temple, the brood of vipers and adders. How terrific was his fight against the Jewish poison. Today, after 2,000 years, with deepest emotion, I recognize more profoundly than ever before the fact that it was for this that he had to shed his blood upon the cross. As a Christian, I have no duty to allow myself to be cheated, but I have the duty to be a fighter for truth and justice." It goes on and on and on, page after page after page after page. So, sorry. Thanks for playing, Jeff. You lose. Again. I hate doing this to you, but when you bring the ignorance out, all we can do is shine light on ignorance. Sometimes I have, yeah. Sometimes I hope you're learning. Other times I give up. Let's go to the phones. We got Steve. Hey, Steve, you're head on.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm okay, sir. I do not think quoting Hitler, as far as talking about, you know, any kind of values, is a good thing, since he was a sociopath.
Well, no, that's not what it's about, Steve. That's not what it's about at all. It's the fact that he considered himself a Christian. At the time, the entire German nation was exterminating 6 million Jews, Steve. That nation considered itself Christian, just as this nation considers itself Christian while it is in the process of exterminating 100,000 civilian Iraqis.
Well, as far as what we've killed in Iraq, it's nowhere near the level that Hussein himself killed.
Wrong again, Steve. Saddam Hussein, in his, 23 years of reign, did not kill 100,000 Iraqis. George Bush did it in 1 year.
So our American men are the ones who's putting the bombs there, blowing up the school kids and such, right?
Yes.
That's our men?
Yes.
It's not the Iraqis. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's our men.
No. The Iraqis are fighting us back because most indigenous populations don't like to be occupied. And, yes, they blow up their own people as well.
Yes, they've. It's sad to say, but...
But they have not blown up 100,000. We have.
Where does this number come from?
Where does the number come from? I'll be happy to tell you that, Steve.
There's a quarter of a million number somewhere, I believe, as far as Hussein and the amount that he exterminated of his own people, Kurds and such, but...
Well, this number comes from the English medical journal, The Lancet, the single most respected medical journal on the planet. And it was done in conjunction with Johns Hopkins University. And they took surveys in Iraq. And that is, and if you read the study, you will find out that the 100,000 number is a conservative estimate. The number is actually far higher.
Well, we don't want to forget about the mass graves that
found
all over.
Okay,
dig
a little deeper, Steve. You're going to find out that those mass graves are a bunch of Bush propaganda. Okay? There weren't any mass graves. There were no mass graves in Iraq with thousands of bodies in it, okay? There were mass graves from where Saddam put down the uprising that took place immediately after Bush War I.
Yes, I remember that one picture of a little father who was trying to cover up his baby's mouth when he got gas. I remember that well.
Okay,
was Mr. Hussein.
No, that was in the Kurdish region. If you will dig a little bit deeper, Steve, and quit watching Fox quite so much,
Watch Fox nonstop. That's where you got to get the truth from.
Well, that explains your manifest ignorance, Steve. Because the fact of the matter remains, Steve, that if you will read the actual documentation about the Kurdish gassing, you will find a statement from our own CIA station chief in that region saying, "We don't know if that came as a result of the Iraqis or came as a result of the Iranians during the Iran-Iraq war."
Right.
I'm glad I was able to open your eyes. Maybe if you'll quit watching Fox, you'll learn a little bit. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Unreal,
I hope we'll hear from you again. All right. It's time to take a monkey break. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
Well, hi there, Bob. Boy, the gloves are off tonight.
Well, you know, I'm not going to put up with a bunch of just drop dead stupidity.
Well, let's also get back before.
There we
go. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that hurt. Let's try it.
You more than me. Before we go to Southeast Asia, let's go back to papal doctrine. Oh, gosh. Documents issued by the Church of Rome that Hitler mined for how to hate the Jews. Hitler looked at papal documents from the 1880s through about 1905 to find papal positions that supported what he wanted someday to do to the Jews.
That's true.
I thought you would remember that, just as I did. So Hitler's trading on and use of Christianity is well documented, and you can never step away from it. And almost all of Germany, even though they shrugged and said, well, it's, you know, it is only the Jews, considered themselves Christian. No, Hitler was not crazy about organized religion. Toward the end of the war, he felt it took away from devotion to him. Now, that was his megalomania speaking.
Certainly.
Not the way the man started, and not certainly not where he was, probably through 1941 or 1942. Now that I heard the phrase regarding Southeast Asia, our efforts there in the 60s and the 70s, and I heard the phrase, they were afraid to go forward, or we made them pay such a high price. Now, let's flesh that out a little bit. I'm afraid a previous caller felt like a point had been made, a loop had been closed, and there was a mark in his column.
Well, there was some loopiness, David, but it wasn't on my part.
And that there was the feeling that simply stating the price, we made them pay such a price. Well, that indicates that you would expect the other side, having paid that price, to not be vigorous, not have any resolve, not be interested in furthering the fight. Who flew out of Southeast Asia in helicopters, leaving tens of thousands of loyal Vietnamese stranded to meet a horrible fate? Who put the tail between the legs, boarded the helicopter, and got the hell out of Dodge?
That was Ho Chi Minh, wasn't it?
Well, that was Ho Chi Minh watching us leave.
We ran. Yeah,
we were whipped. And if we can't admit we were whipped, we can never have meaningful interaction with the rest of the world. Now, another side to that same coin about paying that price, if America had made them pay such a price, it would indicate that we could make them pay that price again. Now, if Laos had suddenly voted in a communist regime, or Cambodia, or Thailand, does anybody in their right mind think we were going to mount it all up again and go back over there and start that yet again? Of course not.
Oh, and by the way, wait a minute. Weren't we hand in glove with Pol Pot?
You have me there. I don't know that.
Didn't we supply the Khmer Rouge?
Ooh, it's beginning to ring a bell, but Bob,
I could be mistaken on this one, but didn't we run resupply missions into Cambodia to the Khmer Rouge, who were fighting the North Vietnamese along with us? And weren't they led by Pol Pot?
If anybody was fighting the Vietnamese, Henry Kissinger's enemy of my enemy would probably have taken precedence. And, yeah, I can see us doing that. If we got in bed with the Iraqis to fight the Iranians, so.
Yeah.
But this.
So just to recap real quick, David, we forced them to pay too high a price, so therefore, and man, they did pay a high price. There are still live munitions embedded in the dirt in Vietnam.
There's still live munitions embedded in the Vietnamese people.
Yeah.
But they were fighting on their own ground, Bob, and we Southerners know a little bit about what that does with, for, and to the person on his own ground. If you've planted it, you'll fight for it.
Absolutely. And we did. We subjected them to a horrible price. Now, I don't know why anybody calling this program would want to boast about the indiscriminate slaughter of a million non-combatants. I don't know why you'd boast about that. That's one of those God forgive America, not God bless America moments. So I don't know why you'd brag about, you know, really making them pay a terrible price and killing a million women and children. I don't know why. But the fact of the matter is, that brag, that boast, was made. And yet, through all of that, did they sue for peace?
Nope.
Or did we run away with our tail between our legs because we finally figured out that we'd been whooped?
We left because we needed to. We left because we had to. We left because they had taken everything we could dish out. And very frankly, I would give America great praise if any segment of America could take what South Vietnam took and still remain vigorous, still remain a conquering army, and they were. If we hadn't had enough aircraft to get ourselves out of that, we would have been breaking our own swords over our own knees.
Bending them into plowshares. No, I don't think so.
Well, it disturbed me that history can be twisted. History can be looked at and only a small portion of it seen. And it also speaks volumes about our purported knowledge of the world. When the domino theory was all we heard about for 15 straight years, whether it be Europe or Southeast Asia, and when we left, South Vietnam had a communist government, but it didn't go anywhere else, and it hasn't gone anywhere else.
Well, the only where else it's gone is to the corporate offices of Nike to ask them very front and very kindly if they could make tennis shoes for us.
Exactly. Yep.
And we're happily doing business with them. And if that price was so high for the Soviets, David, they were still able to go into Afghanistan, weren't they?
Indeed.
See, and like I said, I have a very, very low tolerance threshold for drop-dead ignorance.
And you are correct. There's never been a mission like Pearl Harbor. There's never been anything resembling. It was, what if, or they might, or I'm sure they will, or I think they could, therefore. And it was disguised better in the 50s and the 60s, but still, it was a form of a preemptive strike.
Sure. You know, and that's not denigrating our fighting forces. You know,
there's so much difference between our fighting forces and elected leadership in Washington, D.C. that are draft dodgers.
Well, you know, take the Civil War out of the equation. Okay, because that was our own little bloody bit of internecine business. Okay, taking that out of the equation, when was the last time the United States fought a defensive war?
Wow. 1812?
Bingo!
Good guess.
September 1812, the British burned...
our capital.
Mm-hmm. And that came to a negotiated end.
Yes, it did.
As opposed to Britain running away and saying, we just can't take it anymore. These Americans are just way too tough for us. Didn't happen. It didn't happen at the Revolution. A negotiated settlement. And how did Vietnam end? Negotiated settlement. How did Korea end? Negotiated settlement. Now, I guess we did have an abject surrender in the Mexican War.
Oh.
Mr. Polk's War, your neighbor down there.
Oh, yes. Very aware of that. You know, living in Murray County, as I did, the Polk name still is a big deal.
Well, and his middle name was Knox.
Oh, yeah.
that carries a little freight in Tennessee, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, everything that bore that name, I guess, was named after, what was he, the first cabinet person that oversaw money? Everybody was trying to
curry favor with Mr. Knox, I guess.
And, of course, it goes a long way back to Scotland, too. Some fine religious types by that name. But, David, I appreciate your call. You're so right. You know, is this a failure to the school system, or is this the triumph of ignorant conservatism, that they've got people willing to believe that that we were invaded by the Soviets?
Well, for 7 or 8 or 9 years, Bob, there's been a thing on radio that has gone unchecked. Oh, and I know we're coming up against it, but there's one little thing. In the break, I heard a news report regarding things to stem the tide of the meth lab craze in your state.
Mm-hmm.
My state endures the same thing. I deal with sinus problems 6 months out of the year. Will happily pay $2.29 for Sudafed rather than $1.98. The meth lab epidemic is as ugly, if not uglier, than crack. It creates toxins within the house where it's cooked. People lose their lives, expose their children to it. I can't believe that your pharmacists are blocking. So what if it costs 15 or 20 cents more to get 24 Sudafed tablets? Please. Occasionally rant a little bit about that because
I should.
That is an ugly, ugly process, and the restriction of pseudoephedrine as relates to people's ability to go in and buy 300 tabs and the pharmacist congratulate themselves on a good sale, that's got to stop.
Well, yeah, it does, and I mean, let's at least make it a little bit inconvenient.
Exactly. Sign a false name. At least stand there and be nervous for a couple of minutes. Anything. You know, you can only buy 24 tabs a day if I recognize you. Just little things.
Well, who needs 24 tabs? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the guy that with just a sinus problem, that's a week or 10 days, 2 weeks. But people fill up and buy 300 tablets, 400 tablets. You don't do that unless you're cooking that stuff.
You're right.
So...
Yeah, I will. I'll try to hammer on that a little bit, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Well, I mean, way down the list. Mountaintop removal takes precedence over that, and getting out of Iraq is way up the food chain. But that news piece, really. And boy, wasn't Mr. Hightower right on the money.
Oh, every night he's right on the money.
Yep. Well, Bob.
All right, thanks, David.
Keep up the good work.
All right, appreciate it.
See ya.
All right, more of your calls when we come back. It's time for the top of the hour news. If you're on hold, please stay there. We'll come to you coming out of the top of the hour news break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Head On.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world. At the tone, it's 9 o'clock.
gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord,
welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. 252-6200 is the phone number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. I think somebody slipped some caffeine into my decaffeinated Earl Grey. That or the battling moronity. Ooh, there's a word. Moronity. Or idiotology has me all worked up. One, six of one, half dozen of the others. Let's go back to the phones. We got Matt. Hey, Matt, you're Head On.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing good.
Yep, you scooped me for sure. I had the exact quote pulled up by Hitler. You beat me to it.
No, yeah, well, it's not hard to find, is it?
I think it took me 18 seconds. How about you?
Well, I was having to do it in the break, so, yeah, long about there.
Yeah, so what I want to know is, if that information is so easy to get to, how in the world does it just get ignored?
Well, because if, you know, when you're a wingnut, Matt, truth doesn't matter, and no matter how many times you see it quoted, you don't believe it. These people live, Matt, in Tinkerbell world, where it's all a matter of what you believe and not what you know. It's miracle math made easy, and biology taught by Reverend Falwell, and well, you get the idea.
Yeah. So one thing I was going to hit back on when I first started listening, you were talking about the liberal bias in higher education. And I didn't really hear much after that about it, so I wanted to take a step back to that for a second.
Oh, please do.
Okay, I'm sure you talked about it at the time. I don't know. I haven't been listening in a while. I've been a little bit busy with night classes and such. But do you remember the situation, I think a few weeks ago, where the I guess there were some right-wing students that were suing their university because one of the required readings for their theology class was about Islam?
Was that the foo frah down at the University of North Carolina?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
I mean, and that just goes to show, you know, this isn't a, from what I gathered from the article, it wasn't a Christian theology class or anything. It was just theology in general.
Well, there was one episode, Matt, that was a couple of years ago when you apparently when you go to the University of North Carolina as a freshman, they have a suggested reading list. Things that they would like you to read just to sort of get a handle on the way the world is at the moment you're an entering freshman. And that introduction to Islam was part of it, that book. There was no grade on it. There was no requirement on it. But these right-wing freaks threw a screaming hissy fit about... it wasn't in the theology class. You're absolutely right.
So here's my point is, do I want somebody who thinks there's only one theology to teach me an unbiased, independent theology class? Is he going to be effective in his role as an instructor if he cannot see all sides of the, or if he cannot teach from all angles?
Absolutely not. One of my favorite professors, Matt, God rest his soul, was a hardcore right winger. I mean hardcore, up at WVU. His name was Manfred Meitzen. And he taught one of the best Old and New Testament classes that probably, you know, in 800 miles of here. And he said every step of the way, we are teaching, I am not teaching this as theology, I am teaching this as a subject that is subject to your analysis and our analysis.
And it was what learning's all about.
Right.
It's not Bible study.
No. No, it isn't. And frankly, I mean, there are religious schools out there. God knows there's Oral Roberts University. There's that hateful Bob Jones University where they'll, you know, what do they do? Have you whipped if you're black and you're white and you're walking along holding hands together? I forget.
I think they finally had to drop that here in the year 2003.
Dragged kicking and screaming into the 19th century.
They still are really, really upset about that, of course, but...
Well, and, you know, we have fits about, the Ward Churchill thing, I'm sure you've seen, and this right-wing hissy that they're not, you know, there aren't enough dead from the neck up conservatives on campus faculties. The fact of the matter is, if you want to go out there and look for it, there are a lot more right-wing freaks in college faculties than there are left-wing ones. I ran across one today. There's a blogger named Orsinus, O-R-C-I-N-U-S, and he's got a complete listing of these weirdos, and most of them are unrepentant crypto Klansmen.
As long as they're just teaching accounting, that's okay with me.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to get real Nazi about, you know, accounting.
Or if they're even in business, they seem to think they excel at that, so that's okay too. We'll give them that.
Well, money worshiping is something the Republicans are especially good at.
So yeah, I could see that a lot. You know, actually, I started off as a business major. Can't quite figure out why I ran screaming from it, but
my soul's hurting. My soul.
I started to fear for things like the afterlife and stuff, but you go to a business wing at any school and tell me where the bias lies.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, you've got to wander over into, I guess the more touchy-feely stuff before you start.
Philosophy, psychology, sociology, any social science class period.
And the literature, foreign languages.
Liberal arts, of course.
Yeah. And see, I started out at a liberal arts college where the idea was learn as much about everything as you can while you're here, because when you get out, you've got to go to work, Buster.
Yeah, that's exactly the attitude I'm trying to take into it, and that's why I want to see all sides of something, And that's why I just think the problem is what I see it, we don't complain when we know we're getting fed a little bit of a ideology in with our education. We can see through it and kind of discern what we want to keep and what we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you ask one of them to read something about Islam that wasn't okayed by Rupert Murdoch, and they are going to flip.
Oh yeah, these people believe that Jesus will come down and whip them or something if they read, But it's that ignorance, Matt, that's getting us killed. I've said it a thousand times. When you compare the Wahhabis to the right-wing fundamentalists in America, there's not a lot of difference. And, we've got a war going on in Iraq between Taste Great and Less Filling, and the normal people are dying.
Yeah, you're right. That's the thing, is they seem to have more in common than they have.
You know,
separating them is who they do worship. And I've said for a long time, and I believe this 110%, a lot of people would accept the United States becoming a theocracy, provided their own religion was the one that was getting that was in charge.
Right.
And you can't deny it either. A lot of people.
No, they.
A lot of people that would give up democracy, freedom, all of that.
The bill's been introduced in Congress, I believe, yet again. They do this once a year, it's a bill that would forbid the federal judiciary from making any rulings regarding God or the flag.
Well, they did it last time, right before midterm elections, I believe, is the last time I heard about it. I know they do it often, but they usually like to time that with elections so they can run smear campaigns saying that this Democrat voted, against having gotten the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. They,
when really all he's doing is voting to uphold the Constitution he's sworn to uphold.
Yeah, and these poor suckers are the ones, a lot of them, who provide the cannon fodder for these dirty wars. Damn, Matt, I don't know, you're out there. Can you get inside the head that conceives that?
I can't bend that way.
I understand it. I can't either. But, I halfway envy you still being in the academic process. I miss the university experience.
Well, I'm happy to be back in it. I took about 2 years off. So I'm really enjoying being back in there. And it's good to expand your mind. A lot of people really ought to try it.
Oh, Matt, be a sponge, man. Be a sponge, okay?
And I'm getting all I can.
I'm not talking SpongeBob here. Be a sponge. Soak it all up. Revel in it.
It doesn't kill you. It definitely doesn't kill you to be a little more multicultural. It doesn't kill you to learn a little more about your own.
No, not in the least. Matt, I appreciate it, man. Best of luck. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
I sure will. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, quick. We need to take a break. Okay, yeah. Quick break. Then we come back. More of your calls at 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Country 105.9 and Raleigh General Hospital present the 8th Annual Southern West Virginia Women's Expo at the Raleigh County Armory, February 19th and 20th. Free child care provided by A Place to Grow. Free parking courtesy of Smith Company Motor Cars. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo features exhibits on health and fitness, beauty, financial planning, home decor, nutrition, and so much more. Register for cash giveaways each day and attend informative seminars and demonstrations. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo, presented by Raleigh General Hospital and Bauer Country 105.9. Saturday, February 19th from noon until 6 p.m. and Sunday, February 20th from 1 until 5 p.m. Buy your tickets now at the Old General Store, Linda's Boutique, and Lighthouse Realty.
Hey, look, it's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really?
Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welch, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now. From Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
Cellular One is the official wireless provider of Mountain State University Athletics.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back, 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. a little short in the line there, I guess. Would that be your guess there, Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I apologize. Yeah, you'll have that kind of thing. And it's Valentine's Day. And so you know, hope you've enjoyed the what you could hear of the anti-Valentine's music. And that whole Hearts and Flowers. And that's not because I'm an unromantic guy. I'm an uncommercialized guy. You know, the Grammys last night, just sort of quickly going, you know, click, 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 you know, and there sits J-Lo in her green pajamas. I hope it's not because I'm turning into an old fogey. It could be, but I hope it's not. Let's go back to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Listen, I hate to hear you have to just invite somebody in your program, but I can certainly understand why.
Well, you know, we're gonna be civil here. I mean, I'll call you when you're wrong, and when you're factually wrong, I'll let you know. And you know, just because I've got to go to a break is no reason to get nasty.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, when I heard what I heard with Jeff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just call.
Yeah, I understand. Go right ahead.
Okay. You know, I was thinking of that line from Forrest Gump, what his mother said to him when he went back to give Bubba's mother his money.
Mm-hmm.
Are you crazy or are you just plain stupid? And what I want Jeff to do is this. I want him to get up at 4:30 in the morning, be in his POV, his personal vehicle, and proceed to Robert C. Byrd Drive, hang a left, go down to 200 Valley City, and go to the Military Interest Processing Station and see if they will take him. And then, if they do, let him go in and let him go through the processes of becoming a member of the United States Armed Forces, and then let him go to BCT, Basic Combat Training, since I think Army is probably the best place for him. Go to AIT, get an MOS, and then proceed, therefore, maybe to Southwest Asia. And when he goes over there and sees what's going on and listens to all this stuff, let's see who he's going to believe. Either the Minister of Disinformation, Rush Limbaugh, or people who have either been through it, like I have, or people like you who have the sense enough to listen to people like me and others who are a lot smarter than I am, and I'll listen to it. And I challenge him to do that if he's man enough. He's 35 years old, he says. And let him go. If he believes in this stuff so much, then let him do it.
Well, I tend to side with you on that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I have seen the results of fighting for the liberties of other people who don't want us there. In Vietnam, we were fighting for a government that was more corrupt than anything Ho Chi Minh ever envisioned. And you know it, and I know it.
Yes, indeed.
And as a matter of fact, those two people were even killed. President Kennedy wanted us out of there before he was assassinated. And Johnson was stupid enough to get us involved in that thing. And we got our butts kicked over there, just like the Russians got their butts kicked in
Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan. But I just want to see these sunshine patriots and would-be warriors who can sit in an armchair and get on a telephone and talk up all this boo-rah-rah and get up there and put their money where their mouth is. And then they will be able to speak to me man-to-man, soldier-to-soldier, civil servant-to-civil servant, and I'll listen to what they have to say. But until they do, they can go to hell.
Well, Jim, I don't profess a great deal of military knowledge. The closest I got was bowing out of my appointment. Okay, and I did that for moral reasons.
There's no shame in not serving. No shame in that. But what there is shame in is to putting other people into a position that you espouse and not be willing to go there yourself.
Well, and that's the fundamental problem. This is a war that was started by chicken hawks, Jim.
Men who never worn a uniform, never had a shot fired at them in anger, never had blood on them except their own, and men who have never been able to come back with anything pinned to their chest except maybe something from Jeffrey Bean or something like that, like an alligator or an Izod shirt.
Well, I think George Bush came.
Wait, Bob, I'm angry.
I know you are. And you think I'm not?
I know you are.
I mean, I guess everybody thinks I'm some sort of.
I know where your heart is, and I know what you're saying, and I know you have enough empathy to believe in the people who have suffered, died for this country, and I know you have respect for them. I wouldn't talk to you.
Yeah, we buried a man last spring. Who in his final death throes, a World War II veteran, was denied pain medication. Okay?
Oh, man, I dealt with the military health care system as a member of the civil service, working for the Department of the Army. And I'll tell you something, after Desert Storm, and the stuff that I encountered there, and the stuff they wanted to get out of, and they just wanted to use these people who had come back, they'd gone over there healthy, vital. They came back and they were sick because they'd been exposed to depleted uranium, leishmaniasis, all these diseases that they had in these subterranean wells from which they were not supposed to drink. I've seen a man go down from like 230 pounds to 96 pounds, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
96 pounds.
The Orlando Sentinel.
Out of Auschwitz.
Yeah, the Orlando Sentinel, I think it is, the paper there in the Orlando area. Caught an article this weekend. The title of it was "Over My Dead Body." young man, a long time in the military, proud member of the military, decent human being, father of two, married to a lovely woman, came back from his tour of duty in Iraq a shattered man.
And, you know, our reservists and National Guards people, they have a motto, at least in the selected reserve, twice the citizen, because they are, in many cases, and they are subject to call-up within 24 hours, and they are subject to deployment. But I'll tell you something right now. Unless you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, keep your mouth off the radio and just have the simple respect that I would show any person. As far as a Vietnam veteran who is, his nerves are so shattered, and that was not like World War II. There's no comparison between Vietnam and World War II.
Just as there's no comparison with Iraq and World War II. And you know that, and of course, Jim, that's the first damn place these good-for-nothing chicken hawk Republicans went. You know, whether it's Ann Coulter trying to tell the world that George Bush somehow or another sounds like Churchill.
Which he does not. Can't even read Churchill.
Or that Saddam was the 21st century's answer to Hitler. You know, but the fact remains, we've created a nightmare over there. I mentioned the story last week, the veterans advocacy group that helps people in Brooklyn. And now they have 30 people on their rolls who are homeless Iraqi veterans. And I have to listen to somebody say, well, if they get a check, that's enough. So what if they drink it up? I don't have to put a roof over their head. Ooh!
That really pissed me off when he said that. That really pissed me off because a check doesn't restore a man's dignity, his mental stability, or nerves that have been shattered by the horrors of warfare. You know, these guys think that this is some kind of John Wayne business.
I know.
By the way, never wore the uniform himself, except in the military. And Ronald Reagan, who shot films for the Army and never heard a shot fired in combat.
Right.
And I'll tell you something. I get really pissed off when I hear this stuff. And I'll tell you, I just don't know what to... You know, I'm...
I know. And then, well, let me just finish the happy story for you, because every Jim, everybody's like, why don't you tell any of the happy stuff coming out of Iraq? I told you about the guy in the newspaper article in the Orlando Sentinel. Well, they were getting ready to send him back. He said, over my dead body, and they found him hanging in his barracks.
My friend, it is an awesome duty. And it is a very, very life-changing experience. And people who are so eager to send other people over there and to support those who do, need to think twice and twice more and twice times thrice times twice, because on most cases, in a lot of cases, they're not coming back, buddy.
No.
I know too many.
And Jim, you know, the CIA report came out last week that posits a scenario in which by the year 2020, the United States will no longer be a world power. Do these chicken hawks bother to stop and think why that might be? Because we overextend and overextend and overextend the flower of our youth, the most finite resource that we have. And then there's another CIA estimate out today that gets published that says by 2015, Pakistan will be a failed state.
You know, the thing about it is, as far as the expenditure of manpower and the flower of our youth and the prodigy which these young men and women have, and to see it lost, it's redolent, reminiscent of what happened in World War One, when everybody thought that war was just a game and they could charge on horses and this, that, and the other. In 1914, I mean, they were saying, oh, we're going to have dinner in Berlin and lunch in Vienna, take the rest of these Central Powers out. What happened, Bob? They sat there in trenches. For 4 years, they didn't move for 10 miles in either direction, and an entire generation was lost. And if they don't want to please the military people, let them read F. Scott Fitzgerald. Let them read some of the people who were writers at that time. Men who
Hemingway,
served.
John Dos Passos.
Let them read. Right.
Yeah. and wonder why they were called a lost generation.
Exactly. Or that's your habit.
Yeah, or move forward. It happens every war. Read, you want something a little closer to home. Read Tim O'Brien, The Things They Carried. Isn't that Tim O'Brien, the great Vietnam book, The Things They Carried?
Right.
That'll give the reader night sweats. The same fellow who wrote Forrest Gump, Winston Groom, wrote a beautiful, beautiful book, horrifying in its own right, called what's the song, the cavalry anthem, guy's name, help me, Jim.
I'm sorry.
I
was just thinking of the letter that I read.
Gary Owen.
Right, Gary Owen.
There's a line from that that says, better days than these. And that's from Gary Owen. Winston Groom wrote the book.
I'll never forget a letter that I have. I still have it in my possession. A friend of mine who went to Vietnam pretty early. And he wrote me back and he said, I'm sitting here on a log latrine that was a log that was over a hole in the ground.
Right.
Where people have to go to the bathroom. And next to me, there's a guy sitting here reading the book, doing the same thing I'm doing, eating a peanut butter sandwich, and it's 120 degrees. What in the hell am I doing here?
Indeed. And, of course, you know, Nixon or... we're defending freedom. And you know, Kissinger, we cannot allow a mineshaft gap. Fools! Fools!
Quickly, I mean, our leaders have to, or else they don't deserve to be leaders. And, you know, they need to be over there in the thick of things. And they need to see what is going on. I hate to see us waste our men, our blood, and our treasure. Because, you know, it's not an inexhaustible source. There is an end to it. And, you know, we're going to lose another generation in so many ways, ideologically, physically, mentally, as far as what this generation could have produced in terms of their prodigy. And I hate it. The person who hates war the most, I'll tell you this, is the man who has to fight it, the man who has to be in that foxhole or behind that berm or in that hooch. And I will say this to Jeff. I would not share a hooch, a foxhole, or anything with you, buddy. I'm sorry. I wouldn't trust you. If you're stupid enough to believe the stuff I've heard you espouse tonight.
Well, Jim...
Thank you for your time.
That's okay. And, you know, it's worth remembering. You know, you mentioned the lost generation and the generation that followed World War II and the generation that followed Vietnam. The generation that followed the First World War, we called, as we mentioned, the lost generation. This generation, the generation that's going to fight Iraq... And Iran and Syria and North Korea are going to make the lost generation look like a bunch of Pollyanna insane optimists.
I mean, we simply cannot afford to go around and be the policemen of the world and tell other nations what they can and cannot do. We can't do that. I mean, Adolf Hitler tried to establish Germania, an empire that was supposed to do that. He failed miserably and ended up shooting himself in a bunker. We cannot afford to have those mistakes repeated. We cannot afford to have them ignored, as Justice Jackson said at Nuremberg, lest they be repeated.
Guess what? They've been ignored and they're being repeated. We swore in little torture boy today, Jim.
I know we did.
And we pay, I don't care whether you do it in terms of the New Testament with... do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or whether you call it karma or call it cabbage for all I care.
Michael, these people,
what goes around comes what goes around
catalog.
Yeah, what goes around comes around. And
true.
we are not setting up a good come around. You know, we're out here giving Ward Churchill hell for a very impolitic statement that at its core had the idea that 9/11 happened in part at least because of American foreign policy. and they want to nail him to the cross for it when Washington bureaucrats are saying the same thing. When the CIA comes out with a report and says they don't hate us because we've got a home mortgage, they hate us because of what we do in their countries.
Exactly.
God Almighty.
You know, I mean, there are no so blind as those who will not see. And they don't want to see because, for them, they've got some kind of profit margin in this war or profit motive. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of this stuff is just blood money.
Pure and simple. Jim, I've run over, but I appreciate your comments. I really do.
I'm sorry to upset anybody if I have.
No, you haven't upset anybody. I think, you know, every now and then a dose of salts is beneficial. Take care. All right. Okay, break time. I ran over. We'll come back. Your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. We call it that for a reason. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Valentine's Day was not only a great day for lovers, it's a great day for retailers. This weekend, area residents went to the stores and found that special gift for Valentine's Day. They bought everything from candies, flowers, stuffed animals, to massages, and also home spa treatments. The National Retail Foundation says Valentine's Day is the third biggest retail holiday of the year. The votes are in, and the state capitol dome will return to its roots. An online opinion poll overwhelmingly finds the original design of Cass Gilbert as the choice of the people for the refurbished capitol dome. The gold accent with blue background was selected by 80% of those West Virginians who voted in an online and telephone poll last week. Only 20% wanted a return to the complete gold leafing that was installed on the historic structure in 1988. Two members of West Virginia's congressional delegation agree with President Bush's proposal to increase the compensation paid to families of soldiers killed in service. But they say the increase should not be limited to deaths in combat zones. Bush has asked Congress to increase the tax-free death gratuity from $12,420 to $100,000 and to provide an extra $150,000 in life insurance payments. Governor Manchin is going after the meth labs in the state and wants to limit access to the three key ingredients used in making the drug. Manchin's bill, introduced Thursday, would move medicines containing the ingredients behind the counter. Some of the chemicals used in making meth are found in such common cold remedies as Sudafed. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy, fog develops later on tonight, gets chilly, low near 35, but then for Tuesday, partly sunny and much warmer. Mars high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Some farmers in the mountain state of West Virginia are turning to farming fish in unusual places. And that'll be our focus on today's edition of On the Farm Radio. I'm Jeff Isch. But I would like to remind you real quick that the 2005 Ford Super Duty truck arrived at your local Ford dealership several weeks ago. Now, the 2005 model has been redesigned. It's been re-equipped and reworked to make this the toughest Super Duty ever put together. And right now, you can drive your own 2005 Ford Super Duty back to the farm, back to the factory, or back to your own garage easier than ever. So get down to your local Ford dealership and see the new 2005 Ford Super Duty truck for yourself. You'll see why it's tougher, smarter, and stronger than ever before. And you'll see why Ford is the official truck of On the Farm Radio. Well, there is a growing aquaculture industry in West Virginia that's taking place in the deep and dark waters of closed-down coal mines.
Arctic char is considered a gourmet fish, and it is part of an aquaculture program developed in the waters of West Virginia's coal mines. The marketing director for West Virginia's Agriculture Department, Gene Smith, talked about the economic recovery program that has been quite a success.
Well, they're recirculating the water from the mines, and it goes into large tanks for Arctic char production, and this has been going on now for about 5 years, started out with folks who owned the coal mines, finding, you know, further revenue to use with mines that were totally tapped out in southern West Virginia. So you can put it on a baking sheet, put a little lemon pepper on it, and a little bit of drizzle a little butter on it, and bake it, and it's great. And it's just very, very delicate. So if you think you don't like fish, you probably will like Arctic char.
Other fish grown in West Virginia's coal mine waters include trout. In Washington, reporting for the Department of Agriculture, I'm Brenda Curtis.
Well, taking a quick look at our ag calendar, I see that we have the Maryland Dairy Industry Association's annual meeting and conference. That's coming up on February 17th at the Carroll County Agriculture Center at Westminster, Maryland. And then the following week, we have the Mid-Atlantic Farmers Direct Marketing Conference. That'll be February 23rd through the 26th at the National Conference Center at Lansdowne, Virginia. You can see their website for the Mid-Atlantic Direct Marketing Conference at www.madmc.com. Our pearl of wisdom today comes in from an anonymous listener who says that a goose in the pot, well, a goose in the pot is worth two on the pond. Thanks to that anonymous listener for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm H.
Here's Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. 17 minutes before 10 o'clock. Happy Valentine's Day for what it's worth. We had a lot of good Valentine's music over the course of the show. At least I enjoyed it. It was fun. Yeah, just a little something out of the ordinary. Let's go back to the phones. Wayne's waiting. Hey, Wayne, you're head on. There you are.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening?
Oh, same old man. I just wanted to say kudos to Jim.
Okay.
He was right on. He was right on. And I'm a veteran myself. You know, I didn't experience anywhere near what Jim did and wouldn't make his, wouldn't make a pimple on his butt, man, as far as experience. But he's right in one thing. There is no shame in not serving. But I think there certainly is in criticizing those who did.
Yeah.
And
of course, I suppose, Wayne, that some would say that that's what I'm doing. It's not my intention.
That is not what you're doing. You know, people that did that are, I know a guy that ran for president who was criticized because he had too many medals.
Yeah, I know that guy, too.
He didn't really earn them medals. It must have, that's disgusting. That's utterly disgusting.
Well, it is. I who can forget the Swifties?
Exactly. And
how they spit on every human being who ever won a Purple Heart.
Exactly. And, you know, well, that's what they do. That's what they're good at, too, man. They, portray the victim, or themselves as the victim.
And their buddy's president now.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So, That's all I really had to say. I think Jim, I really put it right where it should be.
Well, you know,
said it eloquently.
Well, I, you know, and doggone it, it's not just little liberal children that I don't want to die in these stupid wars.
I don't want any children to die.
No. I don't want, you know, I'm tired of wasting American lives. Frankly, if there was any justice in this world, George Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Condi would be standing in the dock somewhere answering for war crimes charges.
Yes, they should be.
But we just happen to be the biggest country in the world. And, you know, some things never change, Wayne. All the way back to Thucydides talking about the Peloponnesian War when he said, great nations will do what they will, small nations do what they must. And frankly, we can. It doesn't matter if we kill 100,000 civilians in Iraq. It doesn't matter if we kill 1 million civilians in Iraq. We can because we can. Not because we're right, but because we've got bigger things that make things go boom and turn little babies into their constituent parts.
Which makes us all that much more wrong.
Yes. You know, I don't know where these people get these ideas.
I don't either. It's frightening.
You know, and this all started over me
it's
saying...
It's frightening because so many people back these people and think that they are right. I'm trying to... The website, Common Dreams...
Yeah, .org.
Yeah. The most emailed article or something last week was by that it was a nun. I forget her name.
Yes, the woman writing what they think of us in Belfast.
No,
or Dublin.
Well, it was a story about Iraq.
Yeah,
this one, and a mother, a father, and five kids in a car, and they didn't stop in time, and the mother and father were, they were killed.
Yeah,
and the picture. That's just.
Yeah, and I've seen the picture. The little girl huddled in the corner, covered in her parents' and siblings' blood.
Yes.
You know, and that went all around the world. It never managed to come here. You
Isn't
didn't,
that amazing?
You know, you didn't see it in the liberal media, did you, Wayne?
Amazing. I understand that somewhere the 16th through the 19th or something of March, that there are going to be worldwide protests against the war. Have you seen that?
I saw some mention of it to protest the anniversary of it.
I believe so. I'm going to find out where, you know, our demonstration is and encourage people to join in.
Well, if there's, but the thing is, again, the liberal media, Wayne, if there are 250,000 people on the mall in Washington, D.C., protesting this filthy, stinking, dirty war that's screwing up our karma for the next 100 years. You know what you'll get from the liberal media?
Yeah, a small group of protesters.
Yeah, you'll get a picture of maybe 5 or 10 protesters, and then they'll say, and counter protesters also came out in force.
Right.
And they'll show, you know, some idiot Republican saying, kill my kid for me, you know.
Oh, you know what else I wanted to tell you, too?
What?
I'm just thinking about it now. Early on, I don't know if it was Hightower or somebody was talking about the fine that Walmart had to pay because of kids under 18 using, you know, equipment that they shouldn't. Child labor laws. Do
right.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know the rest of the story?
No, I don't.
I mean, part of the settlement, I mean, they only had to pay. I don't know what it was. It was less than a quarter of a million. You know, it was $100,000+ or something.
Yeah.
But the other part of the deal is that from now on, the Department of Labor will give Walmart a 15-day notice.
No.
Honest. No. I don't have it in front of me. But a 15-day notice of any inspections by the Department of Labor.
So Walmart says to the Department of Labor, we promise we won't have any underage kids operating dangerous machinery that could possibly kill them as long as you promise you won't check us on it without giving us 15 days notice.
Exactly.
Jesus.
You know, if you tell us on the 15th you're going to be here the 30th, there will be no small children running.
There will only be kids who turn 18 in that 15-day time. Oh.
Sad but true. Sad but true.
Yeah, but America will fall apart without Walmart, right? Without children working at Walmart. Right. And, you know, let's Walmartize America, too. We've Walmartized China. We chain children to tables to glue sneakers together and breathe toxic fumes. And, we chain them to tables to sew the clothing.
Yes. Yeah, I got the article, yeah. They had to pay $135,540. That was their big fine.
A Walmart Air spends that on toilet paper.
Agreements included a promise by the Labor Department to give Walmart 15 days notice before the department investigates any other wage and hour accusations, like failure to pay minimum wage or overtime.
Whoa, this is, they got to give 15-day notice before they can investigate?
Yes, anything.
I mean, Wayne, that's not what you told me. I thought it was 15 days before they could even show up and walk in the store. They can't turn their computer on without 15 days notice.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Holy Moses.
I guess you're not. It's in, what is it? It's in the progress report.
Oh, my God.
Is it? Yeah, the progress report. Today's Valentine's Day. Here's a kids from Walmart.
God.
Yeah.
Do we need another reason never to set foot in that filthy place?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. But, well, you see what they did in Canada.
Oh, yeah. We're shutting down. We're leaving. You guys might have a union.
There you go.
Well,
you're not going to have it in this store because we're closed.
But, you see, the Canadian government still has some teeth, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They could say...
I'll tell you what, their workers have some gonads also.
Yeah. They could say, you know, that's fine, shut it down. While you're at it, shut down the rest of them.
Right.
Don't do business here.
And, you know, if the government backs you, well, why don't we just shut that down, too? You know, and that's what needs to happen here. Our government has run away.
It's in hiding. That's poor, terrified little things. It just breaks your heart, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does.
Well, Wayne, I appreciate it.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks.
All I did called up to say was kudos to Jim, and here I've been here for, I don't know.
That's okay. You're more than welcome to hang out.
All right, brother.
We'll see you.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye now. Is there an end? Is there an end to what? I could have gone all night without that story. I mean, I know what Walmart is. I know what a seething, festering, pustule Walmart is. What a cancer it is on our American body commercial. How they drive everyone to the lowest common denominator. Can you blame Walmart for driving a bargain like that if you've got someone willing to accede to it on the other side of it? There's your question. Who in the Labor Department, as run by Elaine Chao, wife of one of the filthiest, most politically corrupt members of the United States Senate, Mitch McConnell, who in the Labor Department signed off on that deal? And why are they still working? I mean, if we're going to have soup lines, there's somebody that I want in it. That person is not worth the money that we are paying them in the Labor Department. And it's probably no small amount of money either. This is probably some highfalutin lawyer making the big-time government bucks. And it's the middle of the month, and that person is probably going home with their check already electronically deposited. They got paid for selling kids out. Scumbags. Dirtbags. Something less than as human as you and me. Oh, okay, Walmart, we agree. We won't even look at any paperwork without giving you 15 days to maybe take us to court and stop us. Merciful heaven. That's a heck of a deal. And I saw some story earlier today about where they're going to shut a store. I think this was in America, in the United States, rather. They're going to shut a store down because the workers were scared to death. They got intimidated out of joining a union in one of the auto centers. There's a hard day a-coming. Wish I had some Bob Dylan laying around. We could play Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. But there is a hard day a-coming. Some Valentines. Well, if you've got somebody you're close to, give them a kiss. Hug them, hold them. If you've got children this Valentine's Day, put your arms around them and cherish them. Because the America that you were handed is not going to be the America that you hand on. And the question is whether or not you have a hand in making it a lesser America. Easy enough to figure out, I suppose, which way did you vote. I think David has a last thought to chime in. Hey, David, you head on.
Bob, this Walmart with this routine about this waiting period. Can you imagine any legitimate law enforcement agency in the world saying, excuse me, Mr. Crack Dealer there on the corner?
Oh, no, you brought up the meth labs, David.
All right, fine. Leroy and Wanda are cooking this stuff in a trailer, and there's a two-year-old crawling on the floor down where the fumes are. They get a knock on the door. So, Leroy, we'll be back in 2 weeks to make sure that we bust you for cooking meth. Gotcha, officer. See you later.
Yeah.
It's the Republican way, Bob.
It is. Wanda and Leroy go to prison for a long time.
Well, of course, because they haven't contributed to the RNC.
No, you're exactly. You know, I wish I was just crazy wrong about that, but I'm not. Do you think there's any other 15 days? Bought and paid for.
They've got to give them 15 days notice. That's the most incredible perversion of justice I've ever heard. Well, no, it's not. I read some details about Enron. Never mind.
Yeah, I know. All right. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
See ya. Okay, the show tonight, of course, was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you, as ever, by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends, the West Virginia Pipe Trades. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Same bat time, same bat channel. Hey, Agnes.